You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is Mick and Christian once again to discuss the LASK reaction and, I guess, look ahead to West Ham back at Anfield against the informed West Ham side. But before we get stuck into it all, Christian, how are you doing, lad?
Good. It's Saturday, you know, weekend, so I'm more interested to know how you are because you're in Ireland, Dublin.
Good old Dublin, yeah, it's good. Nice. Nice weather, actually, to be fair. I packed a pair of shorts. I was like, I'm not probably not going to need them. I've worn them basically the whole time. But yeah, it's a nice place. I've been before, but it is a nice, everyone's really nice. And it's obviously beers and whatever, and bevvies and burgers and all that good stuff. So yeah, enjoy that. Let's get stuck into the footy then, as I watched it. And obviously in a pub over here. Found myself a little perfect spot for it. But it was... obviously, a lot of changes were made for the starting 11 and stuff. And obviously, we saw Ben Doak and players like that. We when we said in the preview, we wanted them to start. But I think we just didn't get going that like first half. It's worrying me a little bit that it's become a bit of a theme that we go behind first and then we start to play. Like it's a bit worrying, isn't it? Like that we need a little bit too long to kick into gear than we should do.
Yeah, you know, the starting 11, I thought, you know, it was interesting because we had a mix of experience and really good quality in there with youngsters as well. And obviously new players like Endo and Gravenberch and Ben Doak as well, obviously being the young one. I liked what I saw in terms of before the game. But then, like you said, the first, you know, 45 minutes wasn't good at all. And they obviously took the lead with a great goal in the 45th minute or whatever it was. And we found it really hard to find our way to play. And we created a couple of chances, but I thought there was a few players that didn't have a, you know, I would say in the second half, and we would come into that, you know, in terms of a whole game, they all got better. But I think Tsimikas struggled very hard, at left back. He lost the ball a lot. He didn't seem to be friend with the pitch, and it was a tough pitch to play on. We could see that, but he just lost the ball, you know, easily, misplaced passes and all that. So he had a hard time, in my opinion. And I think even Endo struggled a bit with the tempo. playing in the Premier League and playing in Europa League, you know, it might be two different kind of tempos as well. But I think we just need to, you know, give him a little bit even more time to just adapt and get into it. But yeah, in terms of the first 45 minutes, it was really bad. And I was expecting more, to be honest. But at least we just conceded one and we could go from there. But there was signs of Bendouk, you know, going down on the right-hand side, actually creating chance as well. But like we discussed in the preview, you know, we need to just have patience with his end product as well. It will probably get there. But, you know, it was good signs from some of the players, but the first 45 was not good.
Yeah, I think it's all well and good, like having a team where you're excited about it, but most of them players, that would have been their first game as an 11 together, at least in Partly anyway. But like I said, Bendouk and players were trying to do stuff and Gravenberch was good, but then there was players that I guess have come in from not playing often or coming off the bench and didn't perform in the best possible way, which kind of reflected the first half, which was very frustrating to say the least. Their goal was great, but again, that was like a telegraph ball and no one really got out quick enough to block that shot. If someone would have run out and tried to get a foot on that, then, I mean, I think Gravenberch was the closest, but there should have at least been two people running out to try and get a foot on that to block it. But when you look at the bench that we had, it was star-studded with Salah and loads of other quality players that ideally we wouldn't have liked to have brought on. I wanted to win the game really before we needed them players, but we needed them to come on and I guess give us a refresh, and that kind of what happened at the start of the second half, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, with Bajcetic playing right back, like the Trent role and coming into midfield, I think he did all right, but obviously being, you know, injured, coming back, getting into his form and tempo and all that and adapting to the games and playing that role, it's not easy, but I think he did all right for, you know, being the first game, a proper game for him. Even though, you know, playing that kind of role that Trent does on a world-class level, it's not, you know, easy for anyone. But, you know, from the second half, the start of the second half, I think we came out with a different kind of attitude and controlled the game and all that kind of stuff. So it didn't take long until we actually could get a goal back from a penalty, obviously. I think it was a little bit soft, to be honest, the penalty, but I wouldn't complain. I'll take whatever we can get back into a game. That's the way it works. When we got the penalty and I saw that Darwin stepped up, I was happy and just like let him score. Used to continuous form, continuous goal scoring, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So to get 1-1 back, you know, at that time, I thought, you know, now we've got time to actually turn this around and go and win this, because it would be a great start to have the 3 points at the, you know, first game in the Europa League away as well.
Yeah, I think just on Bajcetic, because I completely forgot about that he was playing that role. I think Trent makes it, because he came through as a midfielder and he's been put into right back, that position perfectly suits him because he knows what a right back needs to do, he knows what a midfielder needs to do, and of course he's a world class player, so you put anyone in there. I think in theory, because I've thought about it before, like putting Bajcetic in there, it's like, well, he's good enough and he can come in as a midfielder, but it's those certain positions you need to take up and have the knowledge to do it. And it was, I guess it was his first go, but it was a decent enough show. I mean, it wasn't anywhere near what we expect because Trent's so high, levels are so high. But I thought he'd done okay. And yeah, I agree with the pen. Like, I think the first couple of angles I saw, I was like, if that was against us, I'd be absolutely livid. Yeah. But I think there was one angle where I was like, actually, that it does look like a pen, and obviously he checked it and whatever. But I just feel like it was a bit of a, I don't know, it was a bit soft. But then, like you said, Darwin steps up and you just hope and he buries it. And I watched it again this morning. Like, he didn't feel like he was going to miss that one. And obviously, being his biggest fans, it was it's always nice to see Darwin score goals. And especially because it was quite early in the second half as well. You just felt like a sigh of relief, like, right, there's the goal, right, let's just get back in this game and get a couple more. That's what we did, thankfully.
Yeah, you know, 1-1 that early in the second half. We got the time, like I said, to try to turn it around because I think we controlled the game from that point anyway. And then it was a good play and a nice ball in the penalty area where Luis Diaz pops in and, you know, scores a really nice goal. And Gravenberch also get an assist, which is nice. You know, I thought he had a, you know, perfectly good game for a first start for us as well. I think, you know, this was some parts where he lost the ball, he tried maybe too much. He wanted to do more to probably show himself off, you know, for the manager, for the fans. But there's signs there of him, you know, being a really good player. I think he was quick on the ball to drive it forward. He could have done better in the, you know, the end pass, if you like, before, you know, try to pass it into a to a space, to a player to create a chance. But I think he got all the attributes to become a really good player. So I think we saw signs of what he can actually become for us. But that pass was really, really good. And obviously a good run into an area where it's dangerous, and Luis Diaz, you know, great finish. So to get that second goal and, you know, go ahead and 2-1 in the game was really good. And you could feel that they kind of, I wouldn't say that they lost their beliefs, but I think that they kind of lost their maybe, you know, energy to continue, because they had that first goal early. They had the lead. They had the support, the home support. That was great as well. You can sense that through all the 45 first minutes. And then in the second half, obviously, we got that early goal. And then you can just feel that they found it more difficult, because we kind of grew into the game from there. And then when we got the second ball, it felt like we have this now. We just need to kill it off.
Yeah, I feel like it was a surprise for everyone, including Lask, that they got the first goal. So I think they were just kind of not waiting for us to win, but I feel like it was like the Liverpool are too good to, and with the bench, and obviously when you can see Salah coming on and whatever else, like you're like, fuck's sake, like, leave us alone, please, lads, fucking hell. Yeah. But yeah, I watched the second goal again this morning, because the LFC Twitter account posted it, like, and it's like a nice little move. And I loved, like you said, the Gravenberch ball, because I feel like sometimes when we players get into that area, they're too keen to take a second touch, you know, like when he runs onto it, a nice little ball through by Elliot outside of his foot. And it's just like, yeah, Diaz is making that run in. You can see him just belt it in as hard as you can. And as long as he gets a foot on it, it's going to go in. Yeah. I feel like sometimes we're too guilty of, I mean, obviously when Salah's on that side, he's going to, because he wants to get in the box and try and get close to the goal and whatever. But I feel like sometimes the right idea is just to curl that ball in straight onto the pen spot. And it was a nice, I mean, it was a great ball in, but it was also a great finish by Diaz, because the pace that was on the ball, they're difficult to keep down as well. So we've done well to like rifle it top corner. And I think
it was a nice move from the whole, you know, the play, you know,
back,
yeah, because it comes to Darwin is included as well. You know, he's actually, you know, holding onto the ball, keep it away from opposition players. Then I think he passed to Elliot, who passes to Gravenberch, and then, you know, so it's a nice move there, where Darwin is included, obviously being the striker, which I always like. But even though he's not, well, he scored a penalty, but even though he's not always scoring, he's always involved in our dangerous things that we do. You know, we saw it against Aston Villa as well, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, he's there in those positions. He wins some balls. He holds off the defenders and do something creative, and, you know, that is resulting into chances and sometimes even goals. And I like that, because even though you want a striker who's always just, you know, waiting for the right ball and then just, you know, finish it off and score, like other strikers, you know, in the history in the past that we have had, you know, just waiting for it. I think I like that he's actually coming down deep sometimes, that he's involved in getting balls, you know, holding off defenders, passing a ball, that it's not always just goal scoring, that he's actually included in all those things that happens, which means that he has a very big impact on games, you know, being on the pitch.
Yeah, I think the criticism that he's had when he wasn't scoring as much, he'd try and drop deep like he's been doing now, but then he also wasn't scoring, so it's like you're then saying to him, well, don't come inside, stay in the box. But then he wants to, if you're playing as a nine for Liverpool, you need to be able to drop in and get involved and hold people off, and like we've seen in recent games. But he's also like getting assists, he's getting goals, he's getting the assist for the assist, so he's getting a lot of involvement in the play. And obviously that gives him, like we always say, like the confidence he has in himself just keeps growing. So that's, again, lovely to see. And I mean, he is a player that he's very much confidence driven. I think you can tell when he's low on confidence, because he snatches at stuff and he, I guess, his touch isn't as good. But when he's on it like he has been, hopefully that can continue like tomorrow. You can just see like he's a different beast. He's a different level, and people, like he's very difficult to stop. And again, for Diaz, I thought like, He's been so good for us coming off the bench against Wolves, and just so good, like driving with the ball and whatever. And he's just always a threat. And it was nice for him to get a goal for me, because I guess players are, or like engagement is around like numbers and how many goals people score and stuff. So it's nice that Diaz can just keep adding. If he keeps adding a few more and gets at least that's 15 to 20 goals this season. That'll be very, very good for him. And then, of course, we've got Mo Salah, who comes onto the field. And then, like I said before, Lasker, like, fucking hell, lad, spared is here. Like, bringing Salah onto the field. And, yeah, his goal was just, I mean, I tweeted after it. It's like, it is like a year 11 in secondary school playing against the year 7 lads. Just like, just bigger, stronger. Doesn't even have to try. The way he just went past that defender and just like saw the keeper's legs were open and was like, yep, there you go. I'll knock it through them for you. And yeah, it's 189th Liverpool goal. I mean, and that just sounds made up, but it is 189th Liverpool goal, which is crazy. And a great finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, when he came on, we know what quality he has. We could tell that they had loads of respect for him as well. You know, I felt that he come on also being very calm, like not obviously he was eager to score or be involved, but it felt like he knew that he had some time and he didn't stress and he found his spaces and connection with the other players and got that goal, which was brilliant. And, you know, even with Szoboszlai and McAllister coming on, you know, it's quality and Lask is just like, what the fuck, you know, what are we supposed to do? And I also love, obviously, with Szoboszlai played in the Austrian league before for Salzburg, you know, he also had that rivalry with the supporters already from that time. So it was nice to see, you know, him coming on and being a little bit of a you know, someone that they don't like, and you know, he's playing on it as well. So that was cool to see. But you know,
did you see the video? I think it was Paul Machen put like a actually it might not have been, I might have completely made that up, but someone posted like a video of like Szoboszlai looking at their fans after the goal, and they were saying like, why is he doing this? And I was thinking, and I was like, yeah, of course, Austrian league, so they know about him, they know how good he is. So that was the connection, obviously. Yeah,
because they probably don't like him because they are obviously rivalry teams and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, to have that quality like Salah, McAllister, Szoboszlai coming on in a game like this where we're in the lead, but we just need to finish it off and, you know, giving them some minutes just to keep them going, not having to chase the game. That's what we all always ask for, you know, to have that quality, to turn the game around, and the players who played did it well, and then to bring that quality on, just make sure that, you know, we will just keep this score, no stress, get the 3 points, go home, continue. You know, that's the thing. We don't have to think about starting the best players all the time, because now we have such a high, you know, quality in terms of having a big, like, depth in a squad. So I'm very pleased that we can do this kind of rotation, those kind of games, even though obviously the first 45 wasn't good enough. I thought everyone raised the game in the second half. We turned around, we won it, and then we could give, you know, players like Salah a few minutes, and also another goal, like you said, the 189th goal for Liverpool. He will defo reach 200 goals this season, which will be, you know, amazing, you know, when you look back on all these numbers like we always do. But, you know, to just reach 200 goals will be, you know, fantastic.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, and I guess it was nice just to keep our unbeaten run going as well. And obviously, wins breed confidence. And we're talking about Darwin, like, confidence player. And there's a couple others in the team who are the same. So to keep the run going, like, I know it was against the last side that we were expected to beat, but we're still showing no disrespect to last, we're still showing like the mental toughness to kind of go, oh, we're 1-0 down, don't panic. The first half was horrific, but we can sort it out by getting a goal or making subs and bringing quality players on. So it was good to see Liverpool just showing different sides. Then, like, a good team, you need to have several ways to win, and I think Liverpool are finding the ways to win, which is good to see, because I think last year when we were going through that tough patch, we had several choices available, but we chose none of them. We were trying like 20% of one thing, 20% of another. It's like, you just try a couple of things and do them very well. Otherwise, you're going to really struggle, and Liverpool are good at doing that this season. So long may that continue. Which brings us on to West Ham, which is tomorrow back at Anfield. It's not on telly in the UK. I don't understand that one, but it's not on the telly. But yeah, what are your thoughts going into this one then? Because West Ham are very good. They look very good. The signings they've made look good. Ward Prowse is, I mean, he's sort of my fancy team out. He's getting 7 or 8 points every week, so I'm enjoying it. But yeah, they've signed well. They're doing really well. I think they're sixth in the league. So, I mean, it's coming. I mean, it's difficult to say. Like, I mean, at home, I'm much more confident, but I feel like Liverpool tend to do well against West Ham. And I think, like, the stuff online with, like, Michail Antonio and stuff, and it's so cringy, though, isn't it? Like, why are current players doing podcasts? I know, like, we're not current players, whatever. We just do this because we really enjoy doing podcasts. But current players, I get people that have retired, like like Crouch and whatever, because he's a fun guy and he's retired and he's got more time on his hands. But current players like him and Wilson, why are you having a chat together every Wednesday morning over a coffee? Like, what are you doing? Just do that, like. Just do that and not record it. Like, I don't really understand that. But what leads me on to is, like, I think, like, stuff like that in the past, like, obviously years ago, I don't think the players and that would really know about that. But I think in this day and age, they know about everything. I think the players and the manager, like, if they're not aware of it, they get told by it, by one of the staff. Because, like, the amount of times, like, Klopp said, oh, yeah, I didn't read about this or I didn't hear this, but he showed me it. He says that all the time. So I reckon this is a time where they were this, like, someone would have went up to Klopp and went, have you seen what Antonio said about playing us at the weekend? Like, it's just a little bit of that. Well, like, we're motivated anyway. But if you want to fucking write the team talk, as it were, like a cliche, and add more fuel to the fire by saying, like, Liverpool are whatever, like, not as good and we'll finish above them and all this shit. Like, and what I'm saying is, if he was our player, and if, say, that was, I don't know, that was Salah and someone else having a chat, and Salah was like, oh yeah, we'll beat West Ham this weekend, no problem. It's like, well, don't give them the ammunition. Don't give them it anyway. Rant over, but it's going to be a difficult game anyway. But I feel like those little bits in the background, I feel like, can help us, can't they?
Yeah, I agree. You know, if it was a Liverpool player doing that, I expect Klopp to be furious with him. That's the thing with the, obviously, Moyes now, you know, with the players coming out saying those kind of stuff, saying, you know, I think we are better than Liverpool. I think we will, you know, finish above them in the league, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like you said, obviously, it will only give us more fuel, you know, and, you know, to come and actually, you know, it comes back to bite him in the arse, you know, if we go and win it, like 3-4-0 or whatever, because if I was Moyes, I would be furious with him. Just saying, why you give them the opportunity to, you know, have something to talk about and, you know, get the energy from and get angry from. You know, even if it's not the biggest thing, it's something that it's, like you said, it's a little bit cringe. I don't mind if, you know, players now, even players who plays at the moment, do this kind of stuff if they want to do it. But, you know, do it more natural. Don't bring in your own feelings into it. You know, put yourself on a...
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah, I don't mind like players doing it, but it's like the following the trend of all like the Twitter gimps of like doing it for engagement. One of like, you're Michail Antonio, you don't need the engagement. you've got thousands and millions of followers online. I don't mind if you're going to do it in like a way where you're going to analyze the game or you want to talk about like stories in the past or like dressing room stories or whatever.
You,
but like,
you can say your fans your chances because we are better now, you know, we are a good team collectively, we got good players in, you know, I fancy, you know, our chances, even if it's away against Liverpool, you know, blah, blah, blah. But don't say it in a way that is disrespectful because you are actually paid. We can say those kind of stuff, even if we even mention, I do always trying to be respectful towards other teams, even though we will play, you know, teams that are said to be less good as Liverpool, like Lask, for example. I said, I think we would go and win comfortably. We didn't do it, but, you know, I still think we will win, which we did, but I still be respectful for any team because that's how I work. Because if you don't put in your shift and work hard for it, you will be punished wherever you go. Because football, you know, every football team, you know, all of them have high quality. Some are really, really great. Some are less great, but still you can't just go there 50% to think you're going to win. You just have to do the work. And if you continue to, you know, speak like this, like Antonio does before a game, obviously that would give us something to play something. And if we go and win it, like I said, 3-4-0, you know, he will look stupid and it just comes back to him really bad. Obviously, if they do go and win it, he will have something to, you know, continue to talk about, but it will still be very cringe. But, you know, in terms of the games, you know, in terms of the game tomorrow, I know it's probably going to be quite difficult. I think they got quality. I think they are good. I think Moyes have done a good job with them. You know, they have 10 points now. That's 3 points behind us. I fancy our chances, obviously, at home to go and win it, because we got a great record at home. We got a great team. We're on a good run. So I still fancy us winning, but we need to work for it, obviously. And like I said, we can't. It's really dangerous to give away stupid corners or very dangerous free kicks outside the penalty box, because, you know, James Ward-Prowse, I would have liked him in Liverpool, to be honest. I always said, you know, we need someone like that. He's good with the ball, good passes. Maybe not always starting, but, you know, if we get free kicks, he will, you know, he will score like probably, you know, between 6 and 10 free kicks in a season, you know, and not many people do that. You know, he's got a great strike of the ball. So it will be a tough game, but I still, you know, fancy our chances to go and win it and continue a good form.
Yeah, I think Ward-Prowse is one of the very few that have got like a delivery or a right foot like Trent Alexander-Arnold. He is that good. So I think we need to limit, like you said, set pieces and whatever. And speaking of Trent then, because obviously not involved because of the injury and stuff, I don't know if he'll be. I don't know if it's West Ham might be too soon for him. Probably, because I think when someone's 50-50, Klopp tends to err on the side of caution just to be on the safe side.
We don't really want to. I wouldn't risk him even if he's, you know, he's back, but you know it could possibly turn into a situation where he gets done again and it will be even longer time. I'd rather be like it's a home game. Like I said, without being disrespectful towards West Ham, we should be able to cover anyway on that position. Even if we play with Gomez or Bicetis or how we do our system, I think we should be able to have at least, you know, the quality to cover for it. Then obviously we lose some creativeness in the sense that, you know, with his balls into the penalty area from his positions and just being delivering passes, you know, changing, swapping sides and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't risk him if it's not, you know, 100%, because we know we will need him going forward anyway.
Yeah, I think Gomez then comes in, I guess. Yeah, wasn't too pleased with him. Like, I was surprised that he was coming in and doing like the hybrid role. I thought we'd kind of revert back to like the normal 4-3-3. So I guess if he does that and picks his moments a bit better about coming inside, then he can do it. And like you said, being at home, it's much easier because you've got the fans on your side. I think if it was away from home and you're making mistakes, then the crowd are on you. You're more prone. I think Gomez is prone to mistakes. He always has been, unfortunately, as good as he is. But yeah, Gomez comes in, Van Dijk obviously back in alongside Konate, Robbo back in as well, obviously Alisson back in. Midfield, what are you thinking for that?
I think we will go McAllister, Curtis, Szoboszlai. I think that's the midfield that Klopp is looking at now. I think because Curtis Jones obviously didn't come on against LASK, I can't remember now, I don't think so. But you know, to actually play him, because I think he's done really good, and I think he's got a lot of quality in terms of pressing. You know, he's getting more clever as a footballer as well. I really like what he's doing at the moment in that role that he has in that midfield. So I think it will be them three. What about you?
Yeah, I think when we changed it and we went double pivot of Szoboszlai and Jones, I felt like them two, I just felt really complemented each other really well. You know, the skill set, they've got like the 1-2 passing, 1-2 touch, enough speed to get around people, agility, ball retention. I mean, obviously, Szoboszlai, he's just a different level, isn't he? And Curtis Jones, of course, has raised his game so much since the end of last season and taken it into this season, which is, yeah, for a Scouse lad with more pressure on his back, it's lovely to see him kind of just getting on with it and just being normal. Because I always felt like he'd have a few couple of good games, and then if he had a bad game, it'd set him back and it'd take him ages to get back to that level. But I feel like he's kind of mentally just prepared now for if he does something wrong, don't worry about it. Don't win the ball back and crack on and be yourself. So I feel like he's reached a good level now, which is good to see. I think that's probably the midfield. Yeah, and then in terms of the forward three, then I think it's always the options we've got. It's so difficult to pick, but I think I would go,
especially with Darwin playing all game and with Diaz as well. So, you know, it's hard to choose because, you know, sometimes you're thinking, oh, Klopp brought him off because giving him, you know, some rest before West Ham. But at the moment then, we don't know because he played a whole game and it's only, you know, Friday, Saturday in between. So
I think I'd still go Salah, Nunes and Diaz, you know. I just feel like if we get at them from the start, we can get an early goal. We know when Liverpool get an early goal, touch wood, we're generally all right. But it's getting that early start that if we don't get that, that's kind of where it comes in. Where Liverpool, if we don't then score and then they score, it's just like it's just the worst possible things. Then Liverpool have to switch up a couple of gears and get their arse in the game, which we've seen too often this season. I want a nice, clean, cut game where Liverpool get a few goals. And I think that three gives you the most possible firepower in terms of pacing behind, power, strength, potential to score goals. And then if you need to switch it up, you've got Jota, you've got Gakpo that can come on and drop in deep and link up play and stuff. And I think even in that regard as well, like even if we're winning the game, Gakpo can come on for a Nunes and you can keep the ball better.
Yeah.
You can keep the ball better and limit their chances.
Yeah, but that's what I like with the midfield as well now, when we've seen Gravenberch coming on and starting and playing quite good, even though, you know, he needs to find his place and feet into this game, because, you know, it's not easy to come to a new club, even though, you know, he's still young and played in Champions League and Ajax, Bayern Munich and all that. You know, every player needs time to adapt. But I like that, you know, with Curtis, Soboslai, McAllister, if we start with them three, we still have someone like Gravenberch to come on for any of them if we need, you know, to still have legs, still have the physicality to be tall and win balls and also drive it forward. So I love that we got that opportunity as well. It's not like, okay, we have to bring someone of them off and the quality drops. It's I wouldn't say it's equal, but it's still on a very high level. That's the thing. The same with Elliot. You know, I thought he had a really good game against Lask because he played all the game as well. And he's a fighter, he's a runner, he's a clever footballer. I think some people, you know, still... We mentioned as well before, you know, that, you know, he was that super talent coming through, and, you know, we haven't probably, you know, developed, for, you know, in people's kind of expectations of in terms of his talent, you know. But I think he's just being more and more polished into a player that can play in so many positions, doing a great job at being very clever with the ball. So to have him to bring on as well to, you know, control games and just, you know, I think, you know, to have Curtis, Elliot, Gravenberch, it's brilliant. That's the thing. Like, we know that we can take players off, that we're not dropping quality. We will have players that we want to show themselves, obviously, but having the quality to just continue what the team is doing. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, every game. I always do, but, you know, we know now we've got so many options. You're always being very excited about who's going to play, how we're going to play, who's going to come on, what can we do, what can we change? Because now we can change so many things, you know, with all the options that we have.
Yeah, I just want to get a nice early goal and I want the camera to pan to Michel Antonio's face and just, like, see him absolutely fuming. That's what I want. Early doors, Nunes goal. Him to run over and just slap Antonio in the face and go, "Shut up, lad. Don't be chatting shit in the week."
Yeah, I agree.
Even though we can only say like five words in English, I just want someone to teach him. I want Jones to teach him that and just go and get him to slap him.
He only needs anyway. Back off.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Few words.
He's funny. He's a funny guy. Right then, we've reached the end, but let's go. Score predictions. Do you want me to go first this time?
Yeah, because like I'm the guru, so you guru. Can go.
Oh, you got the fucking last one right as well, didn't you? I mean, that doesn't count in the group chat, like, but it was 2-1 and you text me going, "Oh, one more goal." And I was like, "We're going to get this." A noose. As soon as Salah came, I was like, "This 3-1's a fucking certainty here." Yeah. I'm feeling a little 2-0. I'm feeling a 2-0. What about you?
The thing is, I'm feeling another 3-1. That's the thing. I just, because we managed to get like behind, I wouldn't say we get behind now, but, you know, even if we get 2-0 up, I've got a feeling they might have the, you know, possibilities to score from maybe a Ward-Prowse set piece or, you know, something like that, or a counter attack, because, you know, they got some quick players. But I think we still managed to win it by going, you know, 3-1. Even if we're 3-0 up and they score, you know, I think, because I still don't think we're that stable enough to just, you know, be in that team yet. I think we will get there, but 3-1 just feels like, I wouldn't say a safe bet, but it just feels like I would still be very happy with that scoreline. We get the 3 points, we play probably well, but yeah, well, we concede one goal, that can happen. We still score the three, so it doesn't matter.
I just want Liverpool to just not concede. That's what I want. I just love, like, clean sheets. Obviously,
me too, but yeah,
helps with Alisson confidence and whatever, but like, yeah, just I love a little clean sheet, so hopefully we can get that tomorrow, and Michel Antonio's face can be very thoroughly recorded as every goal goes in, as the final whistle goes, and whatever. I just can't wait to look on Twitter. Hopefully, we win, like, and see all the stuff. But yeah, Yeah, we can leave it there then, lads. On a nice half hour there. Gonna go and get back to Dublin life. Get on the bevvies and go and see Croke Park and a bit of a little stadium tour. But yeah, nice one for jumping on. I see you shaking your head like I'm rubbing it in.
Yeah, of course, because I'm not doing anything more now than just after this. I'm going to keep on tidying up the apartment, get ready to do some stuff later on. I wouldn't say it's boring because it's with the family, but it's just like, yes, I would have liked a couple of Guinness, you know, in Dublin, you know, just strolling around to pub after pub and just having that kind of day. But yeah, it is what it is.
Next time, lad. Next time we'll go to Belfast or something. You can fly over and meet us. But yeah, nice one, lad, for jumping on. Really appreciate it. As always, thanks to everyone for listening. Always appreciate the support, like I always say. Let's hope the Reds can do it and we'll be back. Probably Monday or next week sometime to hopefully celebrate a Boston Liverpool win. But yeah, we will see you again next time. Appreciate it. See you soon.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Podcast Network.